Today's violence in Iraq is merely one small corner of a tapestry of problems and challenges that have unfolded over the past 10 years. From one end of the Middle East to the other, unresolved flashpoints. Iraq has been joined by Syria's civil war. The stalled peace process between Israel and the Palestinians will be the focus once again of President Obama on his way to the region. And everywhere wild cards, in Egypt, Tunisia, Bahrain, Yemen. This week, Cyprus's deteriorating and tax-sheltering banking system is threatening the Eurozone. A development unanticipated even a week ago in a region of so many worst-case scenarios. Kim Gaddis understands the starkly shifting realities of the region. She grew up in Lebanon in the 70s and 80s, a land that erupted in civil war when she was a young girl. Lebanon retains its scars today. She's the State Department correspondent for the BBC. Kim Gaddis reminds us that even in Cyprus, the financial instability there is matched by a deeper political instability. The island nation is itself, she says, one of the unresolved potential flashpoints on the edge of the Middle East.
Cyprus is still divided into north and south, the north being under Turkish control, the south being aligned with Greece. And I see Cyprus as very much, you know, obviously between the Mediterranean, the Arab world and Europe. And what you see is not only the continuing of the euro crisis, which is of great concern to the US, because that could wash over across the Atlantic, back on to U.S. soil and impact the economic recovery here. And of course, Cyprus, very close to Israel. And we see President Obama going to Israel this week, trying to, I won't say revive the peace process, because no expectations have been raised about what he's going to try to do on this trip. But certainly he's going to try to get a sense of the lay of the land. He's going to silence his critics who keep accusing him of not going to Israel and not showing enough support for Israel. I think that is one of the purposes of the trip. And certainly he'll have an eye on Syria, which continues to unravel. The violence there is still killing hundreds of people every day, more than 70,000 killed so far in 2 years of uprising. And that is a concern to the whole region, including Israel.
I'm wondering, as the president gets ready to go to the region, in Israel in particular, and in the region generally, I mean, many commentators have looked at the Obama administration and have suggested that, in fact, the U.S. has lost its ability to influence situations on the ground, i.e. Syria, and has lost its ability to claim that it is an honest broker in the Israel-Palestinian conflict. What context do you think, what is the president going to see in Israel that's going to remind him of the difficulties ahead?
I think he's seen the difficulties ahead firsthand. I mean, he tried to revive the peace process in his first term, and that went nowhere for many reasons. People criticized the administration for having put all the focus on calling on a freeze on settlements, saying, you know, that was not the right way to go about it. And I detail some of that in my book, The Secretary. That focus, you know, got everybody into a corner. The Palestinians were put into a corner. The Israelis were in a corner, and nobody could figure out a way of bringing them back together. So President Obama certainly seen what happens when you raise expectations too high. And when it comes to Syria, I mean, yes, there are a lot of people who say, you know, we see now that the U.S. has no influence anymore in the Middle East. It's in retreat. You know, I've lived in the Middle East. I lived in Lebanon my whole life until I moved to Washington 5 years ago. And I've heard this all before about America being in retreat, about America having no more influence in the Middle East. And yet, you know, 30 years later, it is still the country that people look to first. And that's something that I try to address in my book as well, because if you think back to the Bush administration, the resentment in the Arab world was driven by an American invasion of a country and the ensuing conflict and chaos. And if you look at the resentment that's building up in the region now, it's because the U.S. is not intervening to stop the violence in Syria. So it's that fine balance that the U.S. needs to find between intervention and too little or too much of that. And it's a fine balance that the world and the Arab world need to get to grips with about how much American power is too much for them and how little is too little for them.
Since you mentioned this idea of a fine balance, Kim Gaddis, now you're a BBC State Department correspondent, yet you are entirely Lebanese in terms of your background. You
describe. My mother would like to dispute that and say she's. I'm also half Dutch because my mother is Dutch. But for all intents and purposes, I'm Lebanese. I lived in Lebanon my whole life.
And the cosmopolitan nature of the sort of mixed blood within Lebanon is what that country in many ways is all about. You describe in this book, in an amazing departure from a discussion of what's going on with Hillary Clinton, that it was a real challenge for you to learn the point of view of the other. That growing up in a sort of sectarian-driven Lebanon, figuring out what the other side needed or wanted. You mentioned the Holocaust in your own view, that it really took a long time for you to understand what these various points of view
Or even the points of views of people who were living on the other side of the dividing line in Lebanon. I mean, I was living in one part of Beirut and there were other people on the other side of Beirut, and I didn't always understand who they were or what they wanted and how their vision of what they wanted for Lebanon was very different than mine. It was very emotional to write the book, because you're right, it isn't a pure biography of Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State. I tell her story of America's diplomat in chief, America's ambassador to the world, to tell the bigger story of American power on the global stage in the 21st century, where the U.S. needs to figure out new ways of doing business around the world. The old scorecard doesn't work. It needs to find new ways to do things on the cheap with other people helping, because it doesn't have the money to foot the whole bill. And in telling those stories, I come to grips with some of my own misgivings about American power, sitting in Lebanon wondering why America wasn't helping more or less or doing this or that. And not only did I, when I was growing up in Lebanon, learn slowly how to take into account the view of the other, but coming to the U.S., I developed a healthy appreciation of how difficult the job is of American Secretary of State and the jobs of all the officials around her.
I'm wondering if, as someone who has spent her life relinquishing this temptation to take sides and to only see something from a single perspective, if you see American policymakers maybe jumping at the temptation, maybe not having the ability that you have to resist taking sides, and that may be some of the problem in the Middle East for the United States right now.
I find that there is often, and I'm speaking to you now as a, you know, as a young Lebanese woman, I find that there is often a desire to see, or a reaction to see, the world in black and white, the good guys and the bad guys. Whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, you know, these people are good, these people are bad, these people are our friends, these people aren't. And America pays the price often when it does that. I mean, you think of Beirut, 1983. President Reagan thought he was coming in to help the good guys, the Christian president who was trying to reassert his authority in Lebanon. You know, central authority, government, you know, that chimes with the way the U.S. sees, you know, how countries should be run. But, you know, that president wasn't perfect. He was drawing in the Americans into his game as he was trying to oppress or push back against his Muslim rivals. And suddenly the U.S. finds itself embroiled in a domestic dispute between a Christian leader and his Muslim foes. And that is something that is often difficult, I find, to comprehend when you're not part of those very complex societies. I'm not trying to say that the U.S. is very simple. I mean, you have your own divides and your own politics here. But I do often find that there is an immediate reaction when you look at the world from the U.S. to say, you know, this is good and this is bad. It's quite Manichaean. It's quite, you know, people want things to be neatly defined, but the world is full of shades of gray. And those are the nuances that I try to bring to my readers as well in the book.
And we ignore those nuances at our peril, a history that repeated itself in Iraq shortly after the experience in Lebanon that you described.
As well, yes, in the Iraq war. But I do find that the administration of President Obama and President Obama himself and Hillary Clinton herself seem to have a better understanding of those nuances. You know, you look at Syria and you think, okay, you know, there is a desire within the administration to help the rebels, but they understand the complexity. It's not that simple. You can't just march in and everything will be okay because America has willed it. Those nuances are beginning to be seen, I think, more
we'll
in
see
the U.S.
If those nuances are part of the perception, the rhetoric, as President Obama goes to Israel this week. Kim Gattas, BBC State Department correspondent and author of The Secretary, A Journey with Hillary Clinton from Beirut to the Heart of American Power. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much for having me.